Yes, we have caught up with guest conductor Mirga Grazianita Tela. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thanks a lot.
It is great to have you here. And we're about to hear the Mahler, Symphony No. 4, which is different from his other symphonies. He was enchanted with this collection of German folk poetry, and one of those songs is the last movement. And the first three movements lead us there somehow. So how do you approach it?
Well, it's the piece which brings us to some beautiful secrets. And Simon Rattle said it, that you have to read this piece as a Jewish Bible from the end. Not only because Das himmlische Leben, the celestial life, was written first, but because it is the clue to the content of the whole piece. And in fact, the very end, where we land in the E major, in a way, this E major is sort of the tonality of the heaven. And the very last words of the song is about music. And the very, very end is everything about the joy. And super serene, also very intimate and very optimistic, and is a great arrival Mahler leads us to.
So what should we listen for if we've never heard this piece before?
Oh, how he plays with the instruments and with the colors is so incredible. We have very low register of flutes, where they are extremely soft, extremely warm. No body at all, and with the violins together. For me, it sounds almost like Arabic music, or very, very erotic and very celestial at the same time. But listening for the first time to this piece, good question. I would love to open myself for a journey of different states of soul where at the end we finish with joy.
Could we talk a little bit about you? You have a very musical family. I understand that your father is a choral conductor and your mother a pianist and singer, your grandmother a violinist, your great uncle an organist, your great aunt a composer.
That is true, in fact. And I have a huge gift to be born when my mother was 19. So they were and are extremely young parents, and therefore I had for a long time my great-grandparents still, where the great-grandfather was a trombone player, and the great-grandmother spent a lot of time in Siberia and dreamed about learning to play piano. But her seven kids all became professional musicians.
So music is kind of your family business.
Yeah, it is a little bit of mafia.
So how did you become a conductor?
Although being so surrounded by music, my parents thought their first kid should rather have a secure profession. So they didn't let me learn anything except a lot of singing. And I was 11 when I said, wait a minute, but I cannot imagine anything else for my profession as only music. And for our mentality there and for our system, school system, it was too late for me to play an instrument, to learn in that special school. You have to do an entrance examination. And with 11, you are supposed already to be a little Mozart. And I was only able to sing. So the only chance for me to enter that special school, Cyrlonis Art School, was to try for choral conducting, the main subject, choral conducting. I did that, and then I continued with conducting.
Wow. It seems ridiculous that we have to talk about this in 2018, that there are so few women conductors. Did that fact ever deter you, or did you see that as a challenge, or did it affect you at all?
Well, I think in the 1950s, we barely had some women in orchestras, women musicians. And this is not at all the case right now. So in 50 years, it'll look much different.
That's hopeful, optimistic. What does music mean to you?
Another language, and a very special one, where we don't need any words. This language exists on another dimension somehow. the communication is a huge fun, always. The communication with the composer, either dead or alive, with the musicians, with the audience. And I think this may be the crucial function also of music to connect us.
Well, you seem so enthusiastic, and I think it's your enthusiasm is contagious. Jurga Graženica Tela, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.